Good to see you. Let's have some fun.
Bye.
What's up, Cubs? Just sloppy as all fucking get out. Trapzilla City. Babe, I'm gonna keep dancing on that bridge till the stars come home.
And cheer up, babe.
Fucking knocked it out of the park, dude. Babe, welcome back to Cheer Up, Babe, the podcast. I'm your host, VJ Julio. Oh, I missed you. We're rolling. Dude, we're officially live and rolling and back after months of a sabbatical because I went through months of hell, but now we're established. Do you see this chair? This is my only podcasting chair. You know what that means? It's got one purpose. I'm going to put it to fucking use. I missed you so much, dude. Welcome back to Cheer Up, Babe, the podcast. This is The Den. I'm VJ, but in my new professional life, because I got a kick-ass new job, they call me Vincent, Vince, and Vinny. So I'm just kind of a choose-your-own-adventure game of names at this point, and that's great. But here's the deal, babe. I'm not going to just jump right into, like, oh, let me tell you a story that happened last Saturday, per usual, like how I per usually do it. Because we have to cover a couple grounds, okay? I fucking missed you. End of grounds covered. Now, listen. No, dude, for real, I miss podcasting so much. I miss you guys so much. We're back in it. We're back in the saddle. Episode 100 is underway. Went through hell in a handbasket, which is, why is that a saying, you know? Why is hell in a handbasket a saying? Like, what did hell in a Montana ever do, you know? Like, what's their problem? Hell in a handbasket. It's probably a brand of handbaskets. There was probably a lady in hell in a Montana that invented a new handbasket. And it was like, it like really changed the course of history. And then she's created a multi-million dollar conglomerate called Hell in a Handbaskets. And then it became so well known that people just say, we're all going to hell in a handbasket because that's where you go when things get tough, because it turned out that it was a front for, dude, first of all, I know it's hell in a handbasket. I know that, but dude, you know how long I've wanted to do that? I don't get to talk like that in my normal fucking life. I don't get to go on the stupidest tangents of all time in my normal day-to-day life. Okay. Now I have fun with my family, but I don't get to do that. You want to know why? That would make you a social outcast immediately. Okay. So the fact that I get to just roll into this stupid shit so fast because I'm back in the den with my Cubs. Now, listen, this is the first episode back. So there might be some stuff that we got to iron out. You know, this is my first audio recording in this room. We might have to put up some soundboard because as I'm picking it up right now, it seems a little echoey, but we're not going to focus on the negatives. We're going to focus on the positives. And the positive is that fucking Papa Bear's back, babe. Okay. I'm back, all right? I'm back from the store. I got milk. I came back, unlike in real life. I came back. Here I am. And we get to be one cohesive family unit. And I'm not saying one cohesive family unit like, oh, my schedule is allowing me to do podcasting sometimes. No. I'm saying we're back every Monday. Cheer Up, Babe, the podcast. It's fucking Cheer Up, Babe. Look at my shirt, dude. Cheer Up, Babe 2024. Make American fun again. Because we're here to have some fun. And one of my kids just fell off the bed. This wouldn't be Cheer Up, Babe, the podcast if there wasn't a little bit of that going on. Okay, because dude, I got it. Listen. What you get is what you get when you come to the den. And I know that all of you right then when we heard the bang in the background and then I jumped up. Because I'm being an irresponsible father. My kids are in the other room watching a movie. I know you missed it just as much as I do, okay? You missed the chaos. You missed the unhinged novelty that comes along with these episodes. Because let's be real, none of this is constructed. All of this is literally six shooters. Because it's only from the hip, babe, okay? That's going to be my next piece of merch. And anyways, oh yeah, so what was I saying? We're doing a Cheer Up, Babe 2024 campaign, okay? Because it's time to make America fun again, all right? And there's only one way to do that, and that's to listen to Cheer Up Babe, the podcast with your host, VJ Julio. This is episode 100, all right? You can go to cheerupbabe.shop to get this shirt, as well as four new shirts and a new sweater that I put out for your bitch asses, because I love you so much, and I'm sorry, and I missed you, and I made this one like crazy affordable. This Cheer Up Babe 2024 comes in two colors. It comes in this sick-ass navy blue and then white. So if you don't have kids, get the white one. If you have kids, get the navy blue one. I made it as affordable as possible while doing it through fucking Shopify. Okay? I made a Shopify website, and that's the cheerupbabe.shop, and we're rolling. We're back. And I changed the website, and it's better now. And it's more efficient. And it's cleaner. And my life is also like that now. But you just had to give me a 6-month sabbatical, and I fucking miss you. How many times have I said that? I said it way too many times already. You get the point. But before we jump to the next thing, missed you. So, dude, moved from Minnesota back to Idaho. Okay, that was kind of the crux for this whole sabbatical. And when I say that we got thrown into a shit storm, I mean like whoever our enemy was had raging diarrhea. Because it wasn't just a normal shitstorm. It was, you can't feed your kids now. Okay? And that's the biggest shitstorm there is. Okay? The only shitstorm higher than that is also you're dying. Wasn't dying, thank God. So I guess it wasn't, you know, you put it into words and then you get a little bit of perspective. And I do that right now. And I realize, okay, it could have been a lot worse, of course. But also at the same time, you just figure things out. Dude, move from Minnesota to Idaho. Moving day was the most brutal thing ever. Lots of tears, okay? Also, it was the first time we had lived in like a house, like a really nice house, and also we had kids, so we had a lot more shit than we thought we had, and packing up everything and getting it into a U-Haul was a disaster, okay? It was an absolute disaster. Boone and his wife Kaylee came out to help us move from Minnesota back to Idaho. Big shout outs to them. Was it a problem? Yes. Why? Why was it a problem? Because what did they see? They saw unplanned holes in the ecosystem. They saw chinks in the armor that they've never seen before. They saw the most unprepared, unprofessional moving conundrum that anyone in the history of the world has ever experienced. Okay? Now, Jordan and I have moved 11 times. That's a lot. And also, that's a lie. We've been together 11 years. We've moved 8 times. Dyslexia. So we were like, oh, we got this. But dude, we have too much shit. Okay. So I got the 24-foot U-Haul truck. All right. And I'm like, that's going to be good because we're going to have the 24-foot U-Haul truck. We're going to have my F-150. That's what I drive because I'm a dad. Okay. Listen, if you're a dad and you drive like a Subaru, G-U-W-P, okay? G-Y-W-P, get your weight up, pussy. Also, I fucked up the acronym again, okay? GUWAP, GUWAP, dude. Get your weight up, puss, if you drive a Subaru and you're a dad. Now, if you live in Oregon, I understand. You're a victim of circumstance. You have to confine to the culture. If you live in Idaho and you drive a Subaru, go back to Oregon. Or if you have more than one kid, get an F-150. Is it silver? Of course it is. I'm not flashy anymore. I'm a husband and a father. Okay? Is it lifted? Why would it be? Okay? I'm not compensating for everything. My dick works fine. Ask my wife who gave birth to our children. Okay? Getting so convoluted. I miss this so much, dude. Real quick side note. I miss this so fucking much. You have no idea. All right? I don't get to be like this. I don't get to be like this other places. All right? And that's just between me and the Cubs. Okay? That's just me and the Cubs hanging out in the new den on my fancy new chair that I spent $356 on. Was my wife mad? Yeah. But I lied about it until it was here. And now it's here. She can't say anything about it. Okay, she's not going to make me send it back because that's not the kind of woman she is. I'm more of an ask forgiveness instead of permission kind of guy. And now let's continue on with the story. So we got the 24-foot U-Haul. We had the F-150 and we're like, all right, dude, that's going to be plenty. I'm also going to pull my Ranger. Also had a Ranger. Dude, I've been sick from the get-go. All right, I have a Ford Ranger and I have a Ford F-150 because I'm sick from the... I'm just sick with it, dude. So But the Ranger doesn't work, and also I lost the key, so I have to replace the ignition and get a new key and also do a bunch of upgrades to the engine because the battery's dead. So circling back, I was like, we're going to load the Ranger onto a tow trailer behind the U-Haul. I'll drive that. Boone can drive my F-150, and Jordan and Kaylee, it's going to be fine. Was it fine? Absolutely not. We loaded the entire U-Haul trailer. We got all the truck beds loaded up. And then it was the morning of the transition. They were signing at 9. Our entire basement was still full of shit. Okay? So what do? I lived in a great neighborhood. I had the coolest neighbors of all time. The girl was our babysitter. Shout out Dorothy. Miss you, dude. Also, shout out Thomas. Sorry you broke your dick. And also Mark, the dad, who's never going to have an excuse to listen to a podcast ever in the history of the world. He's a mortician. And Mark, I'm not going to lie to you, man. I ran into some people out here that I could use your services to hide a body. But that's a side note, all right? There's so much stuff to talk about with the Cubs, I can't even fucking tell you. So we were just unprepared. So what Boone and I did is I hit up Mark, and I said, Mark, here's the kicker, dude. They're signing at 9. We're not going to have all of our shit packed because the U-Haul place is open. We can't go get another U-Haul trailer right now. Can I just bring every single free-floating item that is currently floating around in my house still, because all of our stuff is packed to the ceiling everywhere else, and just put it in your driveway? And he said, sure. Now, picture this. We're supposed to leave for Idaho at 9 in the morning, okay? Once those papers are signed and that money lands in our account, so much money, by the way, babe. I paid off all my debts. My wife and I are debt-free. Jaya! So he let us do that. We had the girls leave early while Boone and I went to U-Haul when it opened and got another trailer. And he was now going to pull a little trailer in the F-150. So we did that and we got it all loaded. We ended up hitting the road about 1 o'clock. And then we drove. We were just like, dude, this has been such a shit show disaster because we didn't even get to say goodbye to our house because all we were doing was scramble, getting everything out of it and cleaning it as good as we could in that time that was allotted. So we didn't even get to like really enjoy our house. Literally, we got everything out of the house. It was 8:55. We couldn't get the Ranger out of the garage because my wife threw the keys away. I almost skipped that point. So we had to call a tow truck guy. He came out at like 8. He unhooked the drive line. We put a tow strap on it, pulled it up onto the thing, onto the truck trailer, and then locked it in. And then when we got to Idaho, we just pushed it off. Okay. And it's stayed there until I can get the key situation figured out. It's been a whole thing, but my wife threw it away. Why did she throw it away, VJ? Because that's what she does. That's what she does, okay? Now, my wife deals with anxiety, and the way that she deals with that anxiety is through cleaning. And one thing that is super rampant and super aggressively high when you are planning to move across the country with two little girls, an entire house full of shit, is anxiety. So it was through the roof. She was scramble cleaning, okay? So she had 3 garbage bags full of stuff, and she just also, while she... My brain goes one thing at a time, okay? I mean, not while I'm talking in a podcast setting, obviously, but I'm saying when I'm doing stuff throughout the day, I do one thing, and then I do the next thing, and then I do the next thing. My wife goes, let's get these 3 garbage bags. There's these bananas that I need to put into the pantry, put those on my shoulder. Let's put VJ's keys in the junk drawer. I'll tuck those into my elbow. And then also I'm going to carry this towel with my foot. And I'm going to take care of all this shit right now. So she grabs everything, and then she walked over the dumpsters, and she just dropped the garbages into the dumpster, and we're like 99% sure that my keys were in it because nothing else makes sense. So I'm operating on only my spare key for the F-150 and no key for the Ranger, and we got to figure that out. So I'm just throwing all this stuff down the pipe at you so that you get a vibe of, holy fuck, so little planning, so much stress, it was horrible. But hey, we got to Idaho, right? Like, we drove to Fargo. There was a concert with some 65-year-old fucking rock and roll band. I can't remember. I think it was Bon Jovi was playing or some shit like that. So every hotel was taken. We had to keep driving. We ended up getting a hotel about 1:30 in the morning. It was a nightmare. Our girls were tired. Everybody was tired. Everyone was mad. Nobody was organized. And we almost killed each other. And my little brother and his wife got to see Chinks in the Armor. Okay. But we got to Idaho. And so we're all good because everything's established. We get to Idaho. What we're going to do is, we're going to get the girls and us into grandma and grandpa's house while we house hunt, because we're not going to do internet house hunting ever again. We did that with an apartment before. It doesn't turn out great. So we're like, we're just going to get there over the next couple weeks. We'll house hunt and then we'll move all of our stuff into our new house because I have a job lined up. Everything's rocking and rolling Barbarand. All right. I get here. It's the weekend. And so I call my mans who set up the job for me. And I'm like, hey, man, are we still set to have the meeting with the CEO? And he goes, here's the kicker. And we don't even have to get into it. But the kicker was that I didn't have a job. Okay. The kicker was, now that you're here, I'm really sorry about this. And he was really sorry about it. And it was completely out of his control. And the reason that he couldn't have preemptively told it to me is because he didn't find out the final word until the Friday that I was already on the road. He didn't find out that final word until literally we were already coming. All right. Now, that's on me. I should have got stuff in writing, right? So I'm going to take responsibility for that. I should have got stuff in writing. I should have had it established. I shouldn't have taken like word value when it comes to the responsibility of my family. But dude, we just had to get to Idaho. We just had to, because guess what? We're done. We're done moving. This is it forever. So get here suddenly jobless. If you zoomed out and you took the bird's eye view, like a beautiful bald eagle's view flying over the situation, what do you see? You see Papa Cub with his beautiful wife that has put nothing but trust into him, and his two unbelievably beautiful and smart little girls living at home without a job. So it wasn't the transition we were looking for out of the gate, okay? So, you know, like, I was going to say, like, as a man, as me, because the reason I don't want to say as a man is because, like, women get put in their backs against the wall all the fucking time and they have to buckle down, bow their neck and figure it the fuck out. That's what I had to do. So I just went job hunting. And dude, if God didn't have a hand in it, I don't know who the fuck it was, because that's 100% what it was, because the job that I landed is amazing. I love it. It is the happiest I've ever been at a career. It is the most money by like 9 times so far that I've made in a career. And I'm really good at it, and I have a lot of fun with it. Serious, dude. So right now we're in my office. One side of the office is my studio. The other side is my desk, okay? And behind my desk, right there, I have a rake. Because sometimes when it's just, especially towards the end of the month, I did a month of training, and so far I've done a month and a half of actual work, and I'm just crushing it. You know, I'm like the big sister on Encanto. Diamonds and platinum, I'll find them and flatten them, dude. That's me. I'm just crushing it, all right? Oh, what the fuck is her name? Gracie! Come here for a second. I got to ask you a question. Hi, honey. Do you want to sit on my lap while I ask you a question? It'll be real fast, and then you can go back to it. Is your sister okay? Yeah. You guys are just hanging out watching the movie show, right? Here, come here for a second. I have to ask you a question. So I was talking about a metaphor, and I was saying how diamonds and platinum, I'll find them and flatten them. I'm the strong one. I'm not nervous. I'm as tough as the crust of the earth is. Who sings that song on Encanto? Aunt Mel. You don't know her name? What's the big sister's name? I can't remember. Because there's Mirabelle, and she's the main character. What's the big sister's name?
I don't know.
Ugh, I can't remember. All right. Thanks for your help. I love you. Will you close that door for me? She grew up quick, huh? We have full structured conversations at bedtime now. We're not going to get into that because we're not going to do episode 100 with any tears, dude. But now I got to Google it because fucking big help she was. She memorizes every fucking song on that movie but can't remember the goddamn sister's name. Jesus. Louisa. Gracie, it was Louisa. It's Louisa. Yeah. But anyways, I have a rake. Welcome back to the den, dude. Because I'll be crushing it. Diamonds, but fuck, dude. What the fuck? Where the fuck was the bit going? Gosh, we get too bit. I missed you and I miss this, but it's no doubt that I can't say chink in the armor again because one more time and Twitter or X or whatever the fuck it is now is going to be like, he said chink three times. So, and you guys know what I mean when I say chink in the armor. I mean actual holes and cuts in a piece of metal, right? God, do I even keep going with the bit? Yeah, I do. So I'll just be killing it, all right? And then when I'm killing it, sometimes I got to turn around and grab my rake because when I kill it at this job, it means I'm just raking it in. There's no other way to keep track of all the fucking money that I got. Just, it's not, I can't, it doesn't fit in my pockets. It's just buried around my feet. All right. It's just in big piles around my feet. Okay. Sometimes a gust of wind will roll by. They'll throw more money into the pile. I got to grab my rake, dude. Damn. Look, I work for a nationwide company now. Okay. It's pretty corporate. It's pretty amazing. I did have to take sensitivity training in order to have this job. Did I tell them about my podcast? No. I'm not fucking stupid, all right? But listen, we have some team meetings sometimes where you got to get in there and you got to be polite. And I am polite, all right? Now, listen, I can get along with anybody and their mother. That's the reason that I'm good at my job. I'm good at it. I'm also good at getting along with people, which is something I genuinely enjoy doing, but sometimes you're a little bit tired, okay? And you just don't feel like being super emotionally empathetic, especially when you go through things in your personal life. We'll talk about it in a second. It'll be maybe because it's going to take, maybe we'll have to do episode 100, part 1, 2, and 3, because I got so much to catch you guys up on. But sometimes I'll just be in that team meeting and I'll be like, all right, we're about to click in the team meeting. You've only had half a cup of coffee so far. Your caffeine's not there, but you better get into the fucking mode and you better. Bitch, I'm hurt. So anyways, I have a new job and it all worked out. I was able to get my family the nicest house, a nicer house than anything I've envisioned, all right? And it's all on the shoulders of, it was all built on the shoulders of like who I am. So it's extremely validating, okay? Like so much so. And when I say on the shoulders of who I am, I mean like I didn't go against any of my morals or my values or adjust my personality or do anything outside of what felt right to me to get it done. I just nose to the grindstone. And let's put it in perspective. Okay. So I didn't have a job for like a month. Shit. Might've been 2 months. Yeah. 2 months of job hunting that we're fucking living in mom and dad's house. Dude, testament to my wife. All right. Obviously, always. As a man, Nothing can make you more confident and competent in taking on the world than the support of your partner. Okay? And I say as a man, I'm sure it goes with women, but I'm sure it's the same exact way with women, but just as with all things on this podcast, I'm talking from one perspective and that's mine. Okay? So, but it's like halfway through month two, I think, of being jobless, the job hunt's doing. I've done multiple interviews and I think I'm in my second wave of interviews for the job that I ended up getting. And Jordan had a cry day one day because it had just gotten too much to her because it was stressful. I mean, shit. We have our two kids, right? And so she's having a vulnerable moment with me and she's crying and God, nothing is more empowering than this. So she's crying and I hug her and I grab her face and I make her look at me and I say, do you trust me? And she immediately stops crying. Immediately. Didn't even answer the question yet. Just immediately stopped crying. I said, do you trust me? And she just, boom, and made direct fucking eye contact with me and was like, yeah. And I was like, you know I got this. She was like, I know. And I was like, okay. Fucking, I could have ran for president, okay? I have the support of that woman. I fucking, like, it puts me on a cloud and it puts me on, like, such a pedestal in my own mind. Okay, not from like an egotistical standpoint, for from like a, there's no way I can fail if that woman, when push comes to shove, goes, I know you got this. Fuck. She's gonna have another fucking baby if she keeps acting like that, okay? But yeah, dude, everything happened exactly the way it was supposed to happen. Hi. What are you doing, naked butt? Hey. Quick question, where's your clothes? All right, Daddy has been in here for a half hour without you guys in here. So, enough irresponsibility. Like, let's come back to episode 100. Don't look directly into the light, okay? That's a studio light that's meant to cast light directly onto my face. And we're still got some shadow issues to deal with the studio, but don't look directly at it. Don't stare at it. Don't stare at it. That's not good for your eyes. Nope, stop doing that. Okay, so anyways... Dude, oh, my kids. I don't have babies anymore, and that sucks a lot. No one prepares you for that. You just kind of go, oh, I have children now. Oh, my kids have conversations with me. Like, oh, Gracie's going to school. Gracie goes to a Montessori school Monday through Wednesday, 8 to 3, the full school day, dude. Like, and she's crushing it, and she loves it, and she made friends, and she's incredibly smart. She's 3, just to remind you all of that. Lottie's 2. They both had their birthdays. We both got to have their birthdays here, surrounded by family, which was amazing. And yeah, I have kids now. I don't have babies anymore. Hate it, dude. Hate it so much. Now, watching who they are as kids is amazing. The personalities are unbelievable. Gracie won't talk to me about school when she gets home from school, dude. She will not talk to me about school if it's during the day. All right. So what we do, like, I obviously set their rooms up all super cool. And, We strung these flower lights over their beds, right? And what I do with Gracie, no tears on episode 100, period, all right? But so we do the book. Book time is still book time. We still do books every night before bed, and then we tuck them into bed, and they go to sleep. But what I do with Gracie now is we do books, and then we tuck Lottie in, and I go into her room, and I shut all the lights off, and I plug in the flower lights, and they're bright enough that we can see each other's faces just fine. And it's become like our habit thing to where right when I turn those lights on, she goes, okay, tell me about your day. And I tell her about things that happened at work and things that I have going on the next day and stuff that went good that day and stuff that went bad that day. And I honestly, truthfully tell her things. So like if something pissed me off, I tell her about it. If something made me happy or went well, I tell her about it. Because my concept behind this is as open and honest with her as I am, she will reciprocate that. And that might be stupid, okay? You might be like, she's 3. You can tell her that you fought a dragon today and she'd be like, cool. But I don't believe in that. Okay? I believe in respecting my kids. So I give them the respect that they deserve by treating them like their own human beings. And I'm not saying gentle parenting, okay? I got cracked the whip sometimes. Not literally, by the way. Never hit my kids, period. It's like, be smarter than that. You know, if your kid gets so far under your skin that you have to use physical violence, maybe you're mentally weak. But we're going to, you know, we're not going to get too, we're not going to get too in the weeds in that. You guys know how I feel about that. It's a 0%, okay? It's a 0% of the time that's cool because you're an adult. All right, but anyways, I'll tell her all about my day. And then I go, now tell me about school. And that's when I get to know everything. That's when she tells me all of the good things that happened that day in detail. As much detail as a three-year-old can spout. Like, for example, she'll say, like, so one thing that I challenged her to do after her first week, because after her first week, she couldn't tell me any of the other kids' names. And so I challenged her. I said, hey, and dropped her off at school. I said, hey, today, I want you to learn your friends' names, okay? I want you to, when we talk tonight, I want you to be able to tell me your friends' names. And she said, okay. And she doesn't even care to leave me. She doesn't even care that I leave her at school. She just grabs her lunchbox and her coat and walks into the doors now, dude. And she's three. And she's just like, bye, I love you. And I'm like, bye. I'm going to cry for 10 minutes on the drive home. Because, I don't know, she's just so grown. She's grown, dude. Remember that little freaking kid that had his shirt off? It's like, don't test me, Peggy. Don't test me, Peggy. I'm grown. I mean, that kid, product of his environment, sees a lot of violence to be able to reciprocate it at that age. But at the same time, he's flexing his little baby muscles. Okay? It's cute. We should watch that, actually. But, and so I'll say, now tell me about your day. And she'll go, oh, I know my friend's names. And I was like, okay. And she goes, there's Zoe. And I was like, yeah. And she was like, yeah. And I was like, what did you and Zoe do today? And she'll say, we were at the crafts table and I colored and Zoe played with beads. And she go, and I was like, okay. And she was like, and another name is Joey. And I was like, okay. She goes, Joey pushed my chair when my ear was hurting. And I said, well, you're going to point Joey out to me tomorrow, okay? And I'm going to wait at drop off and I'm going to find out who Joey's dad is, okay? And Joey's dad and I are going to have an altercation in the parking lot of the Montessori school. So keep going. She goes, and there's Cly. And I was like, well, she said, Cly. And I was like, Kawai. And she goes, Cly. And I was like, Kai. And she goes, Cly. And I was like, Cly? Yes, Cly. Oh, okay. Cly. She goes, he's a boy. And I was like, okay. It'd be weird if he was a girl, but all right. Cly. She goes, he's really nice to me. And I was like, yeah. And she was like, we played in the kitchen together and we did blocks together and Clyde built a house. And I was like, okay. And I was like, you like Cly? She goes, yeah, he's my friend. And I was like, okay. And Cly's very kind to you? And she goes, yeah. And I was like, good. And there's a quite of a tear happening inside my body because I'm heartbroken over the fact that I am having a full structured conversation with my child, who's three, in context, recalling the actual events of the day, the emotions behind the events of the day, and it's lasted about 15 minutes of conversation. So she's not little anymore. And the tear in my heart is I'm also making a list of all these little fuckers' names because Cly better watch his back, okay? What are your motives, Cly? Huh? What do you got going on? All right? Hey, buddy. We gonna have a problem? Okay? What are your intentions, Cly? What are your intentions? To just be kind and be friends with my daughter? Okay. That's fine. All right. Treat my daughter kindly, which is all I could ask. And make her feel happy about being in a setting away from mom and dad and being a part of a culture and a community and understanding how to interact with other kids and how to be friends with other kids and how to play with other kids so that she goes forth into the world more prepared. Okay, Cly, that's all good and well, but I got my fucking eye on you, kid. Okay. But anyways, you guys remember this video of this little fucking kid?
You're the other girl. You're the mama. So, at least I'm a girl. At least I'm a girl. And mama, and mama, daddy. I'm grown. I'm a daddy. I'm grown.
Stop hitting your chest. You're making a
racist. He's making tough.
That's how you go do it. That's how you go do it.
Oh, shit.
Sweet.
Don't start on fire.
Don't you get dummy. I was on top of you for hiding myself.
Why does he act like that? Also, why is he sagging his pants under his diaper? The kid is thugging, dude. And he's more thugging than I'll ever be, that I will ever be or have ever been. Okay? You guys remember sagging your pants? All right? You didn't have the body positioning and the fucking way that the kid's holding a giant 2-liter 7-Up bottle. And you didn't have the fucking stance, dude. None of us had the stance. We all could have been cooler in 2004 when we tried to sag our pants if we would have just had the stance instead of walking with, like, good posture and shit like a bunch of fucking dorks, dude. We just could take some notes from that fucking kid, even though the cadence of his speaking is a little bit off-putting because he learned it from somewhere, but we're not going to get into that. That's not our place to judge. All I know is that kid has more fucking swag. And I say things like swag because I have none. Okay. Glad we're on the same page. Than I ever will. So, speaking of swag, I golf like fucking crazy now. I moved to Idaho and I said, I'm a golfer. We got here. We went through the stress of the transition. I suddenly had success. Suddenly provided for my family tenfold. Okay. And went, I guess I'll golf. You know? So, you know, if you're an athlete, okay, say you're like a combat athlete, which is a little bit of an oversell for what I wrestled, right? So conflict athlete. I was a conflict athlete, all right? It was I'm stronger and more proficient with my body than you. Okay? Combat. Conflict. That's what my sport was. When you have a sport like that, you're not going to fucking golf, okay? And I'm doing the graph way too early because it's in my brain and I don't want to forget the graph, the margin that I'm about to cross, okay? But when you do a sport like that, that feels like fucking real sport. So never in your right mind would you ever golf, okay? Because golfing is for old people and fat people and unathletic people, I thought, okay? But there reaches a point in everyone's life when it's like, well, I'm not a fucking athlete anymore. I'm a husband and a dad who just enjoys being in shape. I'm not an athlete at all, okay? And that's like the pinnacle. So it's like, I'm an athlete, I'm an athlete, I'm an athlete, I'm an athlete. This is the age, by the way. So it's like 10 years old, I'm an athlete. 15 years old, I'm an athlete. 20 years old, I'm an athlete. 24 years old, I'm an athlete. I graduate college. 26 years old, I'm still an athlete because I haven't let it go yet. 27 years old, I'm still an athlete, but I'm also having my first child. Maybe I'm less athletic, but I'm still an athlete. You know, 28, 29, you got two kids. You have your responsibilities of life and everything like that. And then there reaches a point where you go like, well, I'm not a fucking athlete anymore. And right at that moment, golf goes, hi. Golf goes, we've been waiting for you, you know? So I guess golf doesn't come up in a slant. Golf's right here, you know? And it's like, I'm an athlete. Fucking dude, I'm such a stud. I'm such a G. Okay, I'm not competing anymore, but I got a lot of responsibility. Still an athlete. Oh my God, these responsibilities are kind of heavy. Maybe I'm not an athlete. Hi! That's golf, okay? Right when you cross that plateau of like, well, I'm officially not an athlete. I'm just a dad who likes to be in shape. Golf gives you a reach around. And I say reach around rather than a handshake because you really fall in love with it fast, Okay, you fall in love with it aggressively quick. I fucking am obsessed with golf, okay? I golfed every single morning for a month, dude. For a whole month. I only golfed. I got on the course. I figured it out. There's this little nine-hole course that I was like, I can do nine holes right at sunrise and get back home right in time to cook breakfast for the kids. So I was like, dude, I got this. So I did that every day for a month. So golf is my mistress, and she swooped in like a fucking hell's angel, dude. She came out of nowhere. She gave me the reach around in my life, and I was just like, I belong to you now. So I'm a golfer, hence the hat, all right? Hence the multiple purchases, okay? I have Nike golf clubs. Suck my dick. Does Nike even make golf clubs anymore? No. No, they don't. But that's that shit I've been on, okay? I'm G-Eazy in 2008 or whatever. Back on my bullshit again. I'm having way too... That was like what it was, dude. Because like I kind of got sad that I'm like not a competitor anymore. And like I don't compete in anything anymore. I just enjoy working out. And there's a little bit of sadness in that. But then you find golf... And G-Eazy comes into your life and he's like, back on my bullshit again. I'm having way too much fun. I'm on the course with like eight or nine holes around me and I swear I can only touch one. Whiskey, no rum. I gave her something, no rub on her gum and her face just went numb. We're going dumb because I know where I'm from. Bruh, bruh, speak that Bay Area tongue. Talking about bladed golf clubs. Got a lot of that. Got a lot of that. Talk about Titleist. Got a lot of that. Got a lot of that. Talk about TaylorMade. Got a lot of that. Got a lot of that. Talk about Waste the Day. Got a lot of that. Got a lot of that. So I like golf now. And yeah. That's just how the fucking cookie crumbles, dude. Anybody want to go golfing? I'll take you go. Just entered a whole fucking time warp in my brain right there in that half of a second, dude. Eventually, we're going to host a Cheer Up Babe golf tournament. Shia. Sit down. Clean my balls. Okay. Dude, I fucking missed you. Fucking missed you. We are going to challenge ourselves this year, all right? So... Every episode on Monday for sure, but we're gonna do a few things this year to challenge ourselves, babe. Okay, because that's what we do. We're the Cubs. 2024 is the year that our lives only angle upward. Now, what I'm about to say, I do not want you to do. So I kind of preempted that weird because it's probably unsafe for a lot of you. But here's what I'm doing. Starting on Monday, so starting when this episode releases, I'm doing a 5-day water fast. All right. I'm going to put my body into autophagy and I'm going to kill the cancer cells that are currently present in my body. And we're going to hit the reset button on the whole system. I'm doing a 5-day water fast from Monday to Friday. And then I will record on Saturday. And I'll tell you about it and it'll be fine. But that's what I'm doing this week. That's my challenge of the week. I'm doing a 5-fucking-day water fast. I'll let you know how much weight I lost, how much body fat I lost. I'll track it the whole way, but then I'm gonna let you know how it goes. I think it's gonna be fucking interesting, you know? I mean, I used to cut weight back for wrestling, but nothing like this. This is like different. This is just sleep here for health purposes, mental clarity, and reset buttons. All right. This is like for the mental toughness aspect of it. And that's what I'm doing. 5-day water fast. Is it because I saw Dana White do it? Fuck no. That almost made me not do it. Okay? That almost made me not do it. I'm doing it because of Andrew Huberman, but that's also not the point. The point is I'm doing it. All I'm going to do is drink some water, drink some electrolytes for a week so that I don't die. Put my body into ketosis after day two, put my body into autophagy after hour 64, and then ride that wave for another 2 days. And how am I going to get through it? I'm going to read a lot of books. I really have picked up reading a lot. I enjoy reading. I read multiple times throughout my day now at work. It's fantastic. And I'm just going to listen to a little bit of Shania Twain. Okay. Now, here's the deal, dude. I don't care how straight you are. All right. You could live in a cabin in the woods, leading a wolf pack, and take down moose and elk with your bare hands for a living. Okay. I'm talking about a real old school man's man. Okay. Play that man, Shania Twain. He's going to get fancy. Okay? Play that person who's been sequestered from society for a decade and hasn't moved his body outside of acts to kill in a decade. Play him. Dun, 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 dun. Da da na 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 na. Let's go, girls. Da 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 da. Man, I feel like a woman. Bow, bow, da, 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 da. And he's gonna get fucking fancy with it. And you know what I mean when I say fancy. I'm saying like he's there. He's whittling a piece of wood. While Simon, so he's whittling a piece of wood with this hand that he's holding with his feet, also sharpening a medieval-sized axe on a spinning wheel that he's operating with his elbow, okay? And he's got three wolves behind him. And he's just, and then suddenly, da, 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 let's go, girls. He's going to go like this, man, with his axe. He's going to go, ow, I feel like a woman, wow, 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 okay? Because every guy has a little bit of gay in him, and the key to that little bit of gay is to play a Shania Twain song, all right? The best thing about being a woman. And also, is she still bad? Yeah, because here's the conundrum with Shania Twain, okay? Didn't even know I was going to fucking talk about this. Here's the conundrum with Shania Twain, all right? She sings songs for the ladies, and her looks are for the boys, okay? Her looks are for the boys. She is the pinnacle, okay? She's the peak, especially in her prime, but also, just like Zac Efron, for some of you chicks out there, as you have aged, he has aged appropriately with what you are attracted to. Shania Twain, as she has aged, because when we're 15, Shania Twain aces, right? But then we get older, and we're not into that teeny bop shit anymore. We're not into like the early 20s, because could you imagine having a conversation with a 21-year-old right now? Oh, stab me in the chest plate. No, Shania Twain enters fucking MILF status, and so she tracked right in line with our attraction levels, okay? And I'm saying R because I'm not on an island here. Every single guy listening to me right now. Google what Shania Twain looks like right now. Google what Shania Twain looks like right now while you're listening to this. Say Shania Twain current picture. Also, don't do a paparazzi picture where they sneak her coming out of a Starbucks or some shit like that. A picture that she took now, all right? And tell me that you wouldn't risk it all, okay? Now, the conundrum with that and the reason that she's the key to our inner gay is because we attribute that face to the songs while all of the songs are sassy. So if every song is sassy, but it's attributed to that face, the straightest guy is going to go, let's go, girls. La, 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 la. So anyways, I have a deep-seated crush on Shania Twain that has held strong for a really long time. And now you know that part about me. Okay, wow, dude, we've been rolling for a while now. And I have covered fucking three of the things that I have a lot to catch you up on, Cubs, but guess what? That's the beauty of it. We're back, okay? We're back. Now, I'm not ending it here. I wanted to end it with a little, we're not going to do, well, we're going to kind of, yeah, we are. We're going to still classify this as unqualified dad advice, but I got hit with a question probably about a month ago now, probably has the answer by now. I'm going to answer this during the next episode. All right. We're going to talk about this during the next episode. So that's what we're going to do now. A cub hit me up. All right. And I'm going to read the text verbatim because, of course, it is a little bit, it's a little bit validating. And it's also a great point. I haven't read it in about a month, so I kind of forgot exactly the context of it, and I don't want to butcher it, so I'm going to read it. And then we're going to iron it out. We're going to see if we can expand our thinking a little bit, get into the psyche of, it feels like it's a men versus women question, okay? And we're going to try to end episode 100 on a little bit of a, huh, that's a good point. I never thought about it that way sort of way, all right? So let's pull this shit up and get this going. All right, here's the deal. The girls are going to join us for this one because we just went and had snacks. So, what's the rules of the studio while Daddy does this? Don't touch stuff, but you can color on the paper. Okay? I'm going to read this to y'all, and then we're going to discuss it after the fact. So, this is episode 100 unqualified dad advice. Also, just to bring it back one more time, just because it feels so good to be back. We're all back in the den. We're in the new cozy den. And why don't you go ahead and posture the fuck up for this one? Yeah, baby. Yep, you're 100% right, and that's daddy's bad. I'm sorry. I won't say it again, okay? All right, let's... At least you guys get a little peek behind the mirror with that to know that if I do cuss around my kids, they're going to correct me. So we're all good. So here's what a cub sent me. And I don't know if she wanted me to say her name, so I'm not going to say her name, but a cub sent this to me. I almost tweeted what I thought was the most profound thought. Maybe it's not, and maybe a new day will bring a new clarity and some chill to my psyche. But I'm bringing it to you now because I couldn't Larry the Enticer send it because it felt short-sighted in some respect. I miss your podcast so hard. It is such a bright spot in my marriage, parenthood, and ultimately my life. Wow. Maybe you and Jordan can shed some light on that, on what I'm trying to navigate or make sense of. This is the tweet in my drafts. I think there is a fundamental difference in being a good mother and a good wife that is less distinguished than being a good dad and a good husband slash partner. I'm gonna read that again, okay? I think there is a fundamental difference in being a good mother and a good wife that is less distinguished than being a good dad and a good husband slash partner. So she did follow that up with, that sounds more man-hatey and punitive than I mean it to be, which is why I bring it to you, a really good dad and husband slash partner, to hash it out. I have a lot more blabbing and typed, explaining, negotiating, and justifying. I want to hear from you about what you may grasp from that, quote, hot take of mine. I think even the best of us, I tend to classify Jordan and I with the best of them in my most optimistic moments, are grappling with the injustice and unrest of it. Maybe I just need to relate. I'll stop talking and hope to let this turn into a conversation. I love and admire you. If nothing else, thank you for letting me bounce that off of the solid sounding board you are. So kind, so emotionally vulnerable. And just to put that into perspective, this is actually a long-term friend of mine. So it's not like a person who only listens to the podcast showed me that much love and gratitude. It's like a personal friend of mine. But anyways, so I'm going to circle back to the actual point of this. I think there is a fundamental difference in being a good mother and a good wife that is less distinguished than being a good dad and a good husband slash partner. My gut reaction is I agree, okay? But we're going to break this way down. I agree 100% in the less distinguished part. But one thing that you're probably trying to clarify with this is you just mean less distinguished for what it takes to be a good woman versus what it takes to be a good man. You don't mean more difficult. And all of this, I'm going to say something and then I'm going to clarify it. All right. So let's just get that out on the table. What I mean by that is the playbook for men is simpler. The playbook to be a good man and a good husband and a good father has legitimate, seems more structured outline on what you need to accomplish in order to be classified as such. So if you want to be a good man, competent, confident, productive, present, right? You need to be able to be emotionally intelligent, to be able to connect with your kid, be a good disciplinarian so that you don't raise heathens and you raise structure. But it, and this is kind of in order of operation. It needs to start with love and emotional intelligence. But then you also need to be competent, which means you need to be a capable protector and provider of your home. So you need to be physically forthright, but also mentally forthright in order to adapt the problems that are going to naturally happen to your family. And then you also have to be a provider on top of that. So if you drop the ball on one of those things, you are not a fully developed, capable man. So that's a tall order. There's a lot of pressure behind that order. But we know what we have to do. If we want to be regarded as that, if we want to be regarded as like a traditional quote unquote good husband and father, we know what we have to do. So it's clear cut for us. Now to be a good mom, It seems like there's a lot of gray area. There are the bullet points, but also at the same time, I'm trying to think of a way to say this to not make it sound bad. In like a house, you guys nurture. So you guys take care of everyone. So it's not just like a clear-cut bullet point, I do this and this and this, and then I'm good. It's like, no, if my kids are going through this one day, and then I turn around and my husband is going through something else in the same day, you feel a responsibility to nurture everyone and make everyone feel good or better. And so the emotional vulnerability of you as like a woman and a mom and a wife is constant because it's more selfless. And there's so much variance in that concept that it's never fully structured. It is a daily battle. They're both extremely difficult in their own right, but really men have to take care of one thing, maybe two things. That's providing and protecting. And there's a lot of things that fall into that, but it's set. If we can do that every day, that day is a win. Women have to take care of everything. And there's always something different that gets thrown down the pipe at you. And the inconsistency in that can lead you to a breakdown. So I would say, okay, now let me just go ahead and say this, but this is everything that I've observed within my own household. I have no idea what's going on in your guys' household. So don't get offended if I say one thing or another, because all I'm speaking to is my daily realizations and my daily experiences, okay? The inconsistency of that leads to a lot less feelings of success. You don't feel like you win more than you feel like you lose. You feel like you lose some days because there's always something that needs to be taken care of, especially from an emotional standpoint, that you just couldn't get taken care of that day. All y'all need to give yourself some fucking grace. Okay, you need to give yourself a little bit of easement. I feel like the best way for you to navigate, and one thing that my wife and I have talked extensively about, is to find a way to bullet point your day. Bullet point your day to the point that if you take care of the bullet points, i.e. how I do it as trying to be a good husband and father, if my bullet points are taken care of, I won that day. Now, there's a lot of pressure on me constantly. It's always performance-based and always, and it's constant. There's zero ways to win a game that you don't know the rules to. So if every day you wake up and you're just trying to take care of things as they hit you, you're only on defense. You're only playing defense. Hey, sweetie. Hey, look at me. I want you to be in a podcast, but you're a naked butt baby, okay? You can't be a naked butt baby and be on videos, period, because then daddy has to go to jail, okay? Yeah. Hey, baby. Why don't you go around my desk, get a piece of paper and a pen, and color me some pictures, okay? Okay. Thank you, baby. Color me a happy face.
Okay.
Okay. So for an advice standpoint, okay. So to circle this back into the point, I think there's a fundamental difference in being a good mother and good wife that is less distinguished than being a good dad and a good husband slash partner. Yes. Yes. It is less distinguished in terms of culturally how we feel one is successful versus how the other is successful. Yes, it is distinguished. That doesn't mean you can't distinguish yours. That doesn't mean that you can't create your own bullet points. That doesn't mean that you have to float through day to day hoping that you can take everything that's getting thrown at you. But it is easier to win a game, i.e. make a day a win, when you know the rules. And the beautiful thing is you create the rules. And one of your rules could be, and you can sit down with your partner and talk about this, because it's something that Jordan and I have always had a mutual understanding of, because I'm fully aware of the emotional toll that it takes to take care of everyone on a day-to-day basis, that is the weight that my wife has on her shoulders. I am fully aware of that. So I've talked about this, you know, I called it second shift when I was at my last job, when I would pound an energy drink on my way home because it's basically a tag team and I'm tagging her out, at least in general, in my experience, blah, blah, blah. You got to, you know, your own man better than anybody. Sweetie. Hey, will you go pick 7 books for us to read? Will you go get 7 books? No. Will you go get, will you go get some pajamas and a diaper? Will you go pick them out? Okay, go pick those out. You can't sit down with your partner and say, like, I could really use your help with this. Because we go, okay, and then we do it the next day. Right? But if it doesn't, if it's not established like a, hey, every Monday and Wednesday and Friday, when you get home from work, I am going to XYZ, something that's going to help you pull away and get a little bit of time to yourself. Because I feel like there's a lot less time for yourself as a mom and wife throughout the day than there is for the man. We get the luxury of focusing on something that we want to focus on, you know, i.e. work, you know, like that is the nice thing about like going off to work, is because like we're focusing on one thing outside of the overstimulation that is taking care of a family. So you need to find a way to have that time. And just having a little bit of quiet time to yourself will allow you to structure what a win for the day is going to feel like. It will allow you to assess your wins and your losses of the day. And you do that time over time, and suddenly you've established a pretty successful motherhood and wifehood. You will establish that because you'll be able to actually articulate and focus on the places that you were doing well and the things that you won versus the loss or how you dropped the ball in one stance that will stay eating at the back of your brain. Also, have a little bit of fucking grace on yourself, because motherhood is not easy. It's so emotionally draining, and it also doesn't make you a bad mom in any regard to tell your family, hey, fuck off for an hour or two. I want to focus on myself. It will make you a better mom and better wife, because you're a human being. Good job. You want to put this on? And then you go grab a t-shirt? So I would say that, yes, I agree it is less distinguished. But does that just give you the out to accept that as the only possibility? Because if you feel like you're drowning, you can just accept it for what it is and continue to drown. Or you can set a plan with your partner to learn how to swim together. Okay? Best of luck. And also, I love you too. Welcome back to the den. Let's have a good week. I'll talk to you next Monday. Go out there. Don't be a bummer. And cheer up, babe.